Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Fighter's Heart podcast. I'm Joe Rizzo.
And I'm Ryan Costello.
And as you know, everyone has a fighter heart within them, and everyone has a story to tell. Today, we're sitting down with Deanna Nemes. How you doing?
Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, thanks for coming on. So, we'll get right into it. Before we get into your story, your fighter heart story, what does it mean to you to have a fighter's heart?
Having a fighter's heart means persevering and overcoming and keep on moving.
Plain and simple.
Plain and simple.
Yeah. So how do you think you've exemplified it? Walk us through your story. We'll get on like a timeline. Did you grow up out here?
I grew up on Long Island. Can I say which area or does it not matter?
Yeah,
Rocky Point area. So North Shore, Long Island. Okay. Had an older brother, lived with my mom and dad. Went to college in Pennsylvania, lived there for like 20 years. And then the incident happened that got me back here. So do you want me to talk about that now?
Yeah, so okay. You can go into that. So how long ago was this?
This was 2009.
Okay.
And at the time, and I not that this matters for the story, but it matters from an emotional level. I have a daughter with autism and she was like 5 at the time. She had the exhausting kind of autism. She didn't sleep. Stomach issues. So I was already on E. Okay. And then we went on vacation and I thought I'd get some help and we were going to go. I have a friend who owned a house, on Emerald Isle in North Carolina. And, she would let us use it for free. So my brother and his family and my parents, we had all planned to go. My dad had melanoma, probably 4 years before that, and it went into remission. Right before vacation, they realized it came back, so he had to undergo treatments, so they couldn't come on vacation. So my brother still wanted to go, and there was nothing we could really do for my dad. He was just going to treatment. So we went down there, and my friend that owned the house, since there was a room available, since my parents weren't coming, she came down with her family. And my brother was a cop. My friend's husband was an ex-Marine, and they were both adrenaline junkies. And there was a hurricane out at sea, so it was rough out there, and they decided to go jet skiing.
This is who again? Sorry.
This is my brother and my friend's husband.
Okay.
While they were out there, something happened, and my brother wound up in the water. My friend's husband found him, and he was gone. So they had to get people into the water to pull him out, to pull his body out. And we were all at home. We didn't go jet skiing with them. So we were all back at the house and a cop car pulls up. And my brother having been a cop, always had a lot of friends. And, you know, your friends, they move and go. So my immediate thing was, oh, he ran into one of his friends that, you know, is a cop.
You didn't have like a bad feeling.
Didn't have a bad feeling at all. Right. And then this cop gets out, and my friend's husband leans over and starts throwing up. And I go, where's Michael? And all of a sudden, the cop starts talking and goes to my brother's wife, you know, calls her by her name. Sorry to inform you that your husband is gone, you know. And, it's one of those scenes from a movie that you never think you're going to experience in life. But
Were you guys in there thinking, like, they've been gone a while? Like, they should be.
You know what? They were running late, but, you know, they.
Nothing out of the ordinary.
It wasn't that late, you know, like an hour. So you're like, maybe they stopped for a drink or something. You know, like it really didn't, you know, occur to us. So it wasn't anything out of the ordinary. But then, you know, once that happened, my parents were back in New York. I had to call and tell them that my brother was dead. And I already knew dad was not doing well cancer-wise. So making that phone call, I actually said I'm going to give them 5 more minutes of joy because I had that wherewithal that I'm going to change and everything's going to change once they have this information. And for me, like as far as challenges in life go, I will do anything. But that moment for me was the most challenging thing I've ever been through. And just knowing what you're going to do to somebody else to hurt somebody like that. Yeah. And there's nothing you can do about it.
To backtrack for a minute, what did the police tell you? Did they know what happened at all?
No, they really didn't. They had couldn't. To invest, you know, they kept the jet skis and stuff to see if it was a mechanical thing. You know, the only thing, like, I've talked to doctors and stuff, friends of mine that I know, they're like, he probably fell off and the jet ski landed on him because he was gone like that. It wasn't like, he drowned, you know, he had a life vest on and stuff. So something, it was some type of impact. He either hit a wave and bumped or, you know, it was something, some kind of, you know, impactful thing. Yeah. Yeah.
For both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so from there, you saying you had to call your dad that night?
Yeah, I had to call my parents, and my mom screamed on the other end of the phone, and I'll never forget that scream. And then, so after that, you know, I knew dad wasn't, you know, cancer itself is tough when you go through a huge loss like that. And my dad was a cop too. So they were, you know, just very close. I had a feeling that dad wasn't going to end up in a great place. And sure enough, he wound up in ICU.
Long after?
So that was that. My brother died August 22nd, 2009. By January, my dad was at Sloan Kettering undergoing, you know, his last treatments. But, you know, at that point, his liver was going and, you know, just a lot of the vital organs were not performing up to par. Right. So he was ICU and testing and this and that. So I actually, my mom and I were staying in the city at the time. And my brother, when he passed, had a dog. So my grandmother was watching the dog, but at my parents' house, because my grandma lived in like a retirement community, so not that far away, but she was staying at my grandparents' house, so the dog could have a yard, right? Well, we get a call. My mom and I are sitting with my dad, and I get a call from one of my mom's friends. Who's with you? I said, well, my mom's with me. And he goes, well, who's at the house? I said, well, my grandma's at the house. And he said, somebody passed by your house and saw a woman in the driveway. And the ambulance came, and we think she had a heart attack. And it was one of those moments where you're like, really? Like, what? I don't understand. Like, you know, and I didn't even cry. Like, it didn't even upset me at that point because I was already at a level of pure sadness. Like, where do you go from there? So it was just shock at that point. And, you know, then I stayed with my dad so my mother could attend her mother's funeral. I didn't go to my grandmother's funeral. And then a few weeks later, my dad passed away.
So it was just this whole...
It was just, yeah.
Couple
it was just
of months.
Boom, boom, boom. You know, like... And like I said, I got to a point where I couldn't even process it, what had happened.
When did it finally hit you?
You know, I went to my dad's funeral, and I did eulogies for both of them. You know, like I kept it together, you know. And I didn't go to my grandma's funeral, so I didn't say anything then. I don't even know, because after that, I would just play Bejeweled on the computer. Like, I just needed to numb. Mm-hmm. I'm not a drinker, so I didn't do that kind of thing, you know. But it was just a constant numbness for months. And then what happened, I needed to move because my mom was alone. She just lost her husband, her son, and her mother. We were living in Pennsylvania with my daughter with autism. And we were in a notoriously terrible school district for services. Long Island was great, though. So my mom actually said, she's like, you know, I'll give you the house. Why don't you guys move back? And I said, well, why don't we just put an apartment on the house? That way, you know, because in 10 years, I'm going to have to drive you to the doctor anyway, right? So we did that. So we moved back here so that, you know, for the services to be with my mom, it just worked out, you know, to be a good thing. So it was a pivotal moment in my life because I wouldn't be in the place I am now doing what I'm doing if those things didn't occur. Those things were terrible. Yeah. But it got me to a place where I think I'm supposed to be in life.
So you came back. You're living in that apartment, right?
No, I'm living in the house. My mom's got the apartment.
Oh, you're living in the house with your daughter.
Yeah.
What's the next moves? How are you feeling at this point?
You know, when like moving is its own thing, right? So it gives you a list of things. I had to sell my house. I had to, you know, like everything was just, you just go with the flow, right? There's no real thought involved. Take care of my kid, you know, was the big part of that. So it was really just doing things as they came up and figuring it out as you went along. Mm-hmm. But out of that came, you know, I was at somebody's house sitting at a campfire and they started, country music was playing and they talked about wanting to learn to line dance. I was like, oh, I could teach you. And then they were like, oh, why don't you call somebody we knew who ran adult ed? I was like, all right, I'll call her. So I reached out and, you know, this class came out of it. And
what made you want to reach out?
I love to teach. I had done it before when I was in my 20s. It was a really fun time in my life. I absolutely love to dance. There is nothing I would rather do. It always came easy for me. You know, if there's something in your life that comes easy for you and you're really good at it, you want to do it. You're right. Mm-hmm. I mean, and if you can get to teach people, I love it. I absolutely love teaching people and watching them evolve from a person with, they say, two left feet, but I really haven't met that person yet. Mm-hmm. But into somebody who actually loves and enjoys dancing. It's a thrill for me. Mm. So,
wow. Do you feel like getting into dancing was a way to kind of cope with everything that happened?
I didn't realize it at the time, but absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, I had been a dancer all of my life. You know, I did like cheerleading and gymnastics, and I was always a movement type of person. So my job back in when I lived in Pennsylvania, I worked in HR and recruiting. You know, like just boring kind of stuff. And I knew I was in the wrong thing, you know, like, but I didn't know how to change that. And then life kind of happened, and it was like, oh, all right, let me start doing this. And I started doing one class a week, you know, adult ed, just for fun, you know. But then I had the opportunity to rent my own venue and started as a business. So I believed in myself. Like,
how long ago did you start?
So my actual business, I mean, I started 2013. Was when I had like my first adult ed class. And then like, I guess the following, I'm not even sure.
So you're about like 10 years in.
Now I'm coming on my 10-year anniversary now. In fact, I'm talking to somebody about creating a logo for that. Cause that's kind of big.
Yeah.
You know? And again, I started with like, you know, one class with 30 students. Once I went on my own, I had 13 at this new venue, and now it's 120, 130 people a week I'm teaching.
Is this through like Facebook? Or
I have a Facebook page, yeah. You know,
like, how do you get people to know about it?
It's a community. It's, you know, it's an underground kind of community. Oh. Nobody realizes it, but there's like a whole slew of people that go dancing 5 nights a week.
Yeah, there's
it's
a line dancing underground crew.
It's big on Long Island, too. You know, and there's country bands.
We're at like a Nutty Irishman line dancing thing one time. They did like a free class.
They do Tuesday nights.
Yeah.
What is line dancing?
So they're choreographed dances.
I used to do square dancing.
Right. It's different than square dancing. So you don't need a partner. Okay. It's in a line. So yeah, in theory, you should be in lines, but that's never really how it works out. But I teach people and people will be like, how many line dances are there? There's thousands of millions there. So there's like a repository online that you put these step sheets on. Mm. But most dances, they're like, you know, 32 counts, you know, longer ones like a 64 count dance. So I teach my students these dances and we do them. And then you go out and you play dance after, you know, song after song after song, which is dance after dance after dance. And the goal is to try and not do the same dance twice in the
night. Are there specific line dancing songs or like you can line dance to any song?
You can pretty much line dance to any song.
Oh.
Yeah.
And you choose the songs?
Yeah. Oh. Or the dance. Like there could be, so that's my thing is like sorting through and figuring out what is right for me and what I like, you know, because I figure if it resonates with me, I'll teach it to my students. So I have a certain taste. I like fast. I like happy. Not too hard, not too easy. Every once in a while, there's a hard one though, which, you know, I need to challenge people.
You gotta throw in a little bit. Yeah.
Mix it up a little bit.
Are there competitions? Is there like a league?
There's another. There's a whole other level. I don't do that level. I'm more for fun. I'm about joy,
there's
fun,
a pro,
good
like,
time. There's competitions. There's, you know, awards given out. So yeah, I don't get involved in that because of my kid with autism. I don't really travel.
Yeah.
And you have to travel to do those things.
You do it
so that's
for the
not
love
really
of the sport.
I do it right, but I also it's on Long Island a big thing. So now they have like farm entertainment out east. So like a lot of the farms, they'll bring in a country band and then they bring in the line dancers. So like. It's like a local thing, like the Long Island line dancing community.
Yeah. Is it? That's cool. It's like a country kind of like crowd, right?
It's country. It's a country crowd, but, you know, we do other dances too. So like other genres of music too.
Wow,
but
that's cool. That's interesting.
It's interesting. It's not for everybody.
Me and Dylan tried one time, but it's like it's hard to keep up. And like everyone knows the dances.
Yeah,
like,
you don't learn out. So that's it. So it's different than like Zumba. You go to Zumba class and that's Zumba. With us, you go to class during the week, but on the weekends, you get to hang out with your friends and do the dances that you learn during class. Mm. And in the summer, all the different beaches have the country band, like have a country night. So then you get to dance on the beach, which to me is all the things I love in the world. Like, mm-hmm. I'm on the beach, I'm looking at the moon.
Is it harder to dance on the beach? Than
well, we're dancing on concrete most of the time, so yeah. You get hurt.
At the beach.
You're at the, but you're looking at the ocean, like Smith's Point. You're looking at the ocean, mm-hmm. the moon's out, the band's playing, your friends are all around you. It does, for me, it doesn't get any, and that's it. You get to be present. And that's what I get from my students is they're having a bad day. They come to me. They come to class. You got to put your phone down because you can't be on your phone learning how to dance, right? Mm-hmm. So you put it all aside. And for, you know, the 90 minutes that my class is, people get to focus and be present and raise their energy. And they walk out feeling like they went on vacation.
So. Oh, that's so cool. So what you started off with 13 students, like mm-hmm. you said. Now you're at 120.
Roughly, give or take.
What's the goal? Where do you want to be?
Honestly, like...
Is there a goal?
There isn't. You know, it's... I have my Friday morning class for my seniors. You know, I don't want to say seniors. I call it easy stepping, right? for anybody who wants to come, because I do get some younger ones in there. But I get to teach different levels to all different, and that's for me, like my goal. I don't want to teach the same thing over and over again. So I get to, get a nice variety of clientele. I don't really have a goal other than if I have another 20 year anniversary, 10 years from now, I get to create a 20 year logo. That would be wonderful for me. And ideally I would love to pass it on to, I have a younger daughter now. I would love to pass it on to her. So she's only 7 right now, but I'm hoping, I'm trying not to push her. She's seen some stuff, but I don't want to be like,
push it on her.
No, but she's got rhythm. So I'm kind of hoping that, ideally I would love to work, to be dancing and have my daughter helping me out and stuff. Like, because that's what we get. So the other thing I love about it, for some reason, we have a lot of families that have special needs children that come out. So other families that have young adults or teenagers with autism that come out, and to watch their reaction to the music and the dancing, they join in, and our crowd is just so accepting, and like we bring them on the dance floor, and and so it's a place where families can feel comfortable with kids that sometimes the public stares at. Put it that way, but we all treat it. You're just
everyone's
part of the family. Yeah, you're just part of the family here. So.
Very cool.
Yeah.
You ever want to have your own place, or like,
no.
Do you like bouncing around?
No, I don't want. After COVID, no. I don't need the overhead. I just need a big space for so much time a week. So no, I have. My name is enough. I've got this business in my name, and I'll travel around and I'll rent places and I'll pack them.
That's part of the culture, right? Because people, they all travel, right? The whole community kind of.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's the Nassau crowd, there's the Suffolk crowd, the East End crowd.
There's little cliques.
It's not that clicky. Everybody is pretty friendly. There's a couple outliers, but for the most part, like, you can go anywhere. Like, and that's the beauty of this is we get a lot of single women. I'd say 90%. Women that do this out of divorces, or their husbands don't want to dance and they want something to do and they feel safe, because you walk into a room of 100 people that you know and recognize. So it's something you can do. It's a dance you can do on your own, because as an adult, a lot of stuff is couples, right? I give people things to do on Valentine's Day,
Very cool. So what's some advice that you would give to someone who maybe lost people close to them?
I don't give advice to people that go through loss, because a lot, having been on the other side of it, I used to get nervous talking about death and things like that with people. I think we all do, because it's not something you're trained to discuss with people, right? But I don't give advice. I listen, how are you? Where are you at? And then once people are ready, I'm like, when you're ready, come out and come dancing. Just keep dancing. That's my motto on my shirt here. Life happens, just keep dancing.
What is your, I don't think you said the name of your company.
Dancing with Deanna.
Dancing with Deanna.
Yeah, it took me all of 2 seconds to come up with that.
Yeah, I see where you got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think
yeah,
I get it. Yeah. That's great. So how can people find this? You have a website?
I have a website. Yeah, okay. Yeah, dancingwithdeanna.com. I'm also on Facebook as Dancing with Deanna. Mm-hmm. So And I think I have a YouTube channel too.
Oh, yeah?
I do.
Like
yeah.
you film your classes?
Yeah.
You go live?
I'm also a choreographer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I choreograph dances. In fact, some of the ones we do on Long Island here. Oh, in fact, cool. My biggest one on YouTube, I had over 25,000 hits. I'm very proud of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
How long are your videos? Like, are they tutorials or?
No. If I create the dance, I do a tutorial. But for the most part, it's just showing off I like to show off my students. Like, I'm very proud of them, you know? So there's this repository for all the different step sheets for dances online called Copper Knob, right? So when a choreographer creates a dance, they make a Copper Knob page, and then you get to put demo videos on the side. So a lot of times that's what I'll do is I'll take a video of my class doing this other choreographer's work, or mine, you know, and then you post the demo video. So they become Copper Knob famous, is which cool. really is not going to get you anything in this world. But it's cool. So I have like one student, and she's like, my grandkids thought I was so cool. I did a flash mob down in Port Jeff back in 2000. I think it was 17.
Flash mob is when what? You so like randomly
a couple
dance?
People, a couple people. Well, I created this flash mob dance, but then you go out in public and perform it unexpectedly, right? So I had, you know, three of us just start. Somebody had a big, you know, radio speaker system, right? Mm. So they hit play, and all of a sudden, three people start dancing. And then seven more people join in. And then I forget what we had. 40-something people did this flash mob. It's online.
Wow.
But it was really cool. We did it in the middle of Port Jefferson by the brewery. And
what's
it was
the reaction
like,
of the people that aren't involved? Are they just
that's what you're doing surprise. It for, really?
Yeah. You know, you can only – around here, you're only going to get so busy of a place.
Yeah.
But people thought it was really cool. And then, like, you'd hear, like, oh, you were part of the flash mob? But one of my students was like, my grandkids thought I was so cool because I was on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, but that's it. Like, raise grandma's level of coolness, right? And it's really, there's no money in doing a flash mob. It's not, it's about the bucket list, you know, and getting everybody involved and, you know, getting the community involved. In this day and age, we're all so separate and we're on our phones and we read the media that we're interested in or that sees our viewpoints, right? Or the thing we're hyper-focused on. This is something, you put that stuff down and you have to be with people. You don't have to talk to them, but your energy links up when you dance. So I've had people come to class. I had a woman whose mother died and she just came. She didn't know what to do, so she came to class. Somebody else, their dog died, came to class. Found out they're getting divorced, they come to class. Like, it's
coping.
Place to go. And it is. And that's the old joke, like, that it's the cheapest form of therapy is line dancing. It really is. But
it
when you're stuck, you got to move. And sometimes somebody needs to tell you the steps, and I'm that person, you know? And I'm happy to be that person. So
very cool. So yeah. We're getting Steve's giving us the wrap-up sign.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any last words, anything you want to say to the audience maybe you didn't mention yet?
Not really. I talked
advice.
A lot.
Yeah, you did great.
I gave you advice. I gave you my life happens, just keep
that's
dancing.
All you really need
and
to
that's
say.
All I really need to say. What more do I need to say then?
Life happens.
Just keep dancing.
Just keep dancing, everyone. Have a good night, Fighter Hearts.